call to order our planning commission now this evening, Tuesday, October 26th at 6 o'clock at the Community Rec Center. We'll open up the meeting at this time for public comment, if anyone is here to comment in general to the commission versus someone who'd like to comment to a specific item on the agenda, we'd be happy to hear from them now. Seeing none, we'll close that portion of the meeting. Move to item three on our agenda, which is approval of minutes for the August 31, 2021 and September 28, 2021 planning commission meetings. Any questions or comments on either of those sets of minutes? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the minutes from the August 31st, 2021 and September 28th, 2021 planning commission meetings.
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. To be clear, our voting numbers for this evening are myself, two of you.
Jared.
Jared and probably Steve.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right. So those will be our five. Obviously, we want questions to come from everyone, so please. Item number four on our agenda is review and any action on the concept plan for the Cedar Town Homes Plat E Phase 5, located in the H1 Hillside residential zone. We've already had public hearing on this.
No, in the concept phase, we won't be doing public hearings. So there may be public hearings coming. So, all I can do is decide what it's going to do. Let's go over really what a concept, what we're looking for in concept. And in concept, I don't particularly like the way the code states it. It says that the concept is, it means the concept plan needs to adhere to Cedar Hill standards. But that's really the preliminary and final plan. The concept plan we're looking for is, is the zoning appropriate? Is the use appropriate? What other concerns can we foreshadow going looking down at any project? What should the developers know as they begin to develop a civil plan set that is reviewed by the engineers? So with that in mind, let's pull up phase five. The developers came to us, they've been here, this is part of the Cedars Townhomes subdivision that was approved back nearly 20 years ago when the Cedars were approved. The townhomes were granted a certain amount of density. It was 205 units through five phases. This is the fifth and final phase of their subdivision or their development. And given the history there, it can be kind of a touchy subject up there. The townhomes up there, many of them have been retrofitted, it appears, to make them into native soil. The driveways have collapsed, and so they had to come in and do the concrete refit or completely redone. It's been a bit of a problem. So with that being said, a few years ago, when the developers approached the city about coming in and doing phase five, we immediately said, if you want to do phase five, you've got to redo your geotechnical. The previous geotechnical report showed test kits that were in a number of widespread locations throughout the Cedars development. And Cedars development is everything that's on the north half of the city and the east side, and then the wagon wheel, as it's affectionately referred to. So it's 725 units. It's a big, definitely the biggest development the city ever done. But the test kits for that geotech study were far between. They're all over. There wasn't any that were actually showed. They didn't do a test kit in phase five itself. So with the knowledge that we have in the last 15 years of time, we said you've got to come in and do a geotech report. I want to see a test pit at every building location. So that's what we've done. And Steve, you asked me before the meeting if the engineer's gonna come present with the geotech report. No, I'm not gonna have a geotech, I'm not gonna have an engineer come and report on the geotech report, but I will have the engineer review the geotech. Shortcomings. So that is part of the review process. But that's ultimately a little bit further down the road as we approach the preliminary plan. And in the concept plan, what we're looking for is this the right use of the land? Is this what it's zoned for? And giving them feedback and what they need to know going forward with their developments. We've had a site plan review on this, and you can see. So this is maybe a little bit difficult to see, and I apologize for the aerial shot for me, but in the packet you can maybe see that this land here, there's like a little bump right there in the property line, and then goes straight in. When it was originally developed, that's where the cul-de-sac pole was going to go. It was right there. As they approach this development, I think they wanted to kind of pull some of these houses where this pole would have been right in this area, and then has houses on this end. They wanted to pull those houses maybe a little bit away from the neighbors to the east. So I'm okay with that. I don't think I should do that. So that you can see that they have 12 units here and two building blocks. And they'd be the same type of building as you see in Cedars Point Halls. So the main concerns with this development are on the geotech issues that I've already brought up. And I'm going to share this list with the developer because you don't see it in the comments. But there needs to be a water share submitted. No for our records. I don't see where they've submitted water shares for this phase of the development, so that ought to happen. Additionally, given the topography, this street sits higher than the back lots. So, and this intersection sits higher than the street, so it's going down the hill, right? So all of this sewer flow for these 12 units is going to go to the back and then out along, it's not this yellow line, that's the storm drain. There's a paralleling at that, there's a sewer line that will come out, and then there's a sewer that communities do homes and so flow out into the city system through there. They will have to have a 25-foot sewer easement along back there so we can get our back truck up there, or TSSD can get their back truck up there and jet the lines. Want to make sure we're taking care of those. They also need TSSD approval for those connections, which is not a big deal. Along this back, a lot currently sits along this back property, there's a natural, well, it's not natural, but there's a surface drain swell. So it's if you go up, there's a little ditch you can walk along. And so when you get a big rainstorm, you see some of this runoff that comes, it's captured in this drain swell, and it flows north until it gets into a retention basin. That needs to be maintained, otherwise we're going to have some flooding problems on some of these homes below it. So there still needs to be that feature. Addition, that's just to capture the drainage on the common area here. The storm drain itself here is going to be captured in, there's an inlet box here, and there's also an inlet box on this east side, and it's going to collect and be sent to the city storm drain system, and it ties into the existing storm drain system that the city was built nearly 20 years ago. So we'll have to get that approved by the engineer. But we're kind of concerned about the velocity of the water that comes down here. It's quite a steep street. We talked about velocity. On the street here, this needs to be at least 4% per city standards. The west easement needs to be extended some direction. Also, this common area needs to be metered by secondary water meters, and then we're expecting to see street lights here at the end of the cul-de-sac, and then one installed here at this intersection to brighten that up. It will be part of the HOA there, and the building design will, I'm imagining, be similar to the CRA there. So this one is going to be, once it's being public notice, I imagine there's going to be quite a few residents that live up there that are going to come to the meeting and express concerns. So something to just keep in mind is that the developer does have these development rights. We cannot say no, but we can tell them how they are to do it. So that's why it's important that the geotech study happen and that it be reviewed, as well as all the other engineering on the geotech rights. So this one will, I imagine, bring on some people when it comes. There's no public hearing tonight on these items.
Right. So I can imagine, but I want to hear from you, why would other people who live up there that are already in homes essentially identical to this, why would they have a problem with this?
because they had problems with their homes, and so they want to make sure, and the HOA actually had to pay in many circumstances to go back and put the piers in the building, not the homeowners. So they're one of their concern, and I spoke with the HOA president about 2 weeks ago, when I met with them, and they're concerned because they don't want to see more, they don't want the HOA to be obligated to go back and retrofit these homes with piers in the next 5 years if it can be prevented. So that's one issue. That's preventable. The not preventable issue is many of these people have the most spectacular views of the valley. Those are not protected, as you well know. So they're going to be upset about that. That is not something, obviously, that we, when we were making our consideration or decisions, that's not something that we take into consideration. That's not a factor. Between those two, I think that's going to be the main crux of the passion here. But it'll come.
I wonder, though, if some of them will be worried about that, because that little gully ditch along that western side there. How far, I know this is a concept, but how far above, just the grade, is that even, are those homes going to be far enough above it, down below it, or being on?
Well, right now there already is a ditch.
Right.
Right? And so we want to make sure that that feature is preserved or relocated.
So the water will continue to go.
So if I were to pull up an aerial here on this, what you'll see is what we're going to be needing is, because the only way we can get a back truck up there to clean these sewer lines is, this is Adamdale right behind it. This is where those homes are going to go. If we have to pull back up this sewer easement right here, it'll be on. And then there's going to be a new kind of utility road right there. It's about 20 feet wide where we can come in and do the work that we need to on storm drain and on the sewer line as well. Along that needs to be a drainage slope to continue that storm drain on up this drains into the city's storm drain system.
Okay.
Which means very likely. Very likely you're relocated further east.
Make
room
for the road.
Likely, yes. And then the landscaping, the grading, and the psychological copy on it.
Correct.
I just wonder if that could see if that has any effect on geological study for that, for those that don't understand.
That's a good question. I don't imagine it would, just because the home locations are fairly set. So we're not messing with, we're talking about the slopes right in this area.
Right.
Well, but that shouldn't mess with the slopes through here.
Okay.
Right? There will be the need for a minor retention wall through here. And if it's over 4 feet, it will need to be engineered in and of itself. These are all conversations we had in the site plan retention on some of the key ones we talked about. Yeah. Any other questions?
Can you go back to that area with you?
Sure.
That's directly south of the cul-de-sac there.
Common area. It's just that HOA's common area. HOA owns all this. So what that one up. See this.
You discussed the downhill slope and the velocity of the water if the drains and the sewer storm drains were to get plugged. A lot of the water might go into that area.
It goes to common area.
Okay.
Go in the common area or probably just cool up in the cul-de-sac more. We try to keep on our storm drain maintenance as best as we can. That's why you don't see it cool too much. You can see it. We got that cool back truck. And
it's nice
to limit. So, yeah. Any other questions?
Okay. To the commission, I'll, there are no other questions or comments. I'll certainly have a motion.
Well, I had, March 28th, 1964, probably doesn't ring any bells.
No, it's not.
No. Well, for Alaskans of a certain age, it carries rather indelible memories. But the largest earthquake in North America tends to get their attention a little bit. And I noticed that we're pretty close to the fault there. I would ask that a plat note, a note be put on the plat, and the wording can come pretty much from the geotechnical report. If you look on page 5, it talks about section 4.2, faulting.
Mm-hmm.
It discloses something that I think, I mean, it's in the geotechnical report that gets buried in the project paperwork and filed with the city, and I would like to see a note right on the plat where every potential buyer can see it. And the wording I would suggest is...
Is surface fault beginning there?
Well, not really. Not the whole thing, but although that would be great. I'm just saying an active fault line, or an active fault is located approximately 0.1 miles to the east. The site will likely experience significant shaking if an earthquake were to occur along this fault segment. Something to that effect is just, I would support the project, but I also think there's an issue of informed consent and being aware of the risk. Other than that, I have no concerns.
I don't think that's going to be the most relevant. And I would just quote straight from the report and reference the report on the plat.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, Colleen, one of our most recent grant requests is for geotech studies.
In that area? Yeah.
In that area, yeah. So quite often we get grant requests.
Is that something that would be added to the later phase? Not phase, that's the wrong word.
That
later approval status, that no.
I made a note of it, and it's something that I'm going to share with them so that it's not something we have to go back and do. And they're going to put it off, but I'm going to put this off.
Okay.
We're sort of on the minutes.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it. If it's not there, we'll require it again.
Wondered for him to speak it into the motion.
I don't think you need to speak it into the motion. I'll talk to them about it and say this is what they're going to be looking for in the preliminary phase. So I don't know that necessarily needs to be a condition. I think we can just get it put on.
Yeah.
Get it on the plan.
Okay,
I
asked Bill that accidentally closed my report, but can't find it exactly. The condition that were there on that month of this time. And it says in the report somewhere there's no condition that would cause a slide or anything. Has that situation taken into consideration? Because I would imagine those residents up there would remember and come and say,
yeah.
You know.
I believe that the weather caused that was extremely wet weather plus a sprinkler
light. Yeah, okay.
So. And once we start metering water, people aren't going to want to use water if they're coming here, so it's going to be really dry. Let's get it.
Other questions or comments? Should we entertain a motion?
I move that we approve the concept plan for Cedar Townhomes plat in Phase 5.
Motion and a second. Any further question for discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Move on to item 5, which is review action on the concept plan for the subdivision proposed by J.C. Lee, located in Legion. Located in the H1 Hillside Residential Zone. We'll turn to staff.
So with these, I'll grab the line, things a little bit different, see, I apologize. But this right here is the termination of the existing nature trails project. Right now, remember, there's a temporary hold there. As the project moved forward, that would be, you know, returned back to the residents there. We have, we can just line that with the one, that street with it, you want. So this is in the H1 zone, but it is qualified given its size of 24.5 acres to be developed as a PRE, which allows them to cluster their homes on one side rather than dispersing them throughout the project. And then it allows us to preserve a lot of this hillside development as open space. There's 14 lots currently. And I don't think that there's really any, it's really the question is how this one happens. And the hillside zone is always tricky. And so in the site plan, we talked a little bit about this as well, in that on street slopes, we can only be at above 8 to 12% for a short period of time. We allow 500 feet per street segment. Our code defines street segment as clean intersection, right? So you've got a street segment beginning here, and then this proposed street would go all the way up, and that would be one street segment. This, they already have 212 feet of plus 8% grade on this other side. So they've only got about, you know, a little less than 300 feet slope they can use. It's above 8 to 12%. So that is a bit of a concern, is that slope. But as the, and it's, this is a really tricky part of this lot, is that given the slopes, you can see how difficult it is to take a road up there, right? But this turn rate is of great concern. So we brought up in the site plan meeting, but we had some more discussions about it today. Jenny, what did you have to say? Is this 125 feet?
I believe so.
It was pretty high radius. Our standards require that our local street be at least 275, so we've got to find a way to open up this radius a little bit more. And the reason that is this street right here, when it's iced over, when it's iced over, given that turn radius, I'm worried that 11, 12, and 13 are going to have cars in the front yard. Hopefully, I'll just snow plow it. So we need to figure out something to do with this turn radius. So we brought that up with the engineer and kind of tasked them with addressing that. The second major issue is that, and let me go back to my aerial here, is that this land right here is private. That's the parcel we're talking about right now. And they're going to connect up. There's an aqueduct that runs this trail that runs on the south here. There's an aqueduct easement there, so you can't really do much with that trail. That's going to be largely preserved. But there's a couple sections of that trail, and one of those sections is right in here, where they've installed a class B pipe where you can actually put a road over it and have traffic go over a pipe on a regular basis. Given how much private development is still open on this hillside, really everything from here, the church owns pretty much everything here, and another gentleman owns this. There's a lot of private development that can still happen on the hillside, and right now there's really only two places where that can be accessed, and it's off the parcels here, and whoever knows what that street's name. You know, this the street off of Heisel's Hollow, we call it. They don't know what it's called, I really don't, sorry. And there's a possibility for an access point off of Box Elder down here. But what we want to avoid is, we want to avoid some of the mistakes that happened in the past. Namely, from this intersection up to here, it's way too far and way too many homes for there to be no other outlet off of the street. So as we develop, getting homes developed here is going to happen eventually someday. I don't know, it could be next year. I've had some inquiries in the past year, but not a ton. It's it's a very difficult development engineering-wise. It takes a bit of money, so it takes a bit of investment. But we do want to make a way for them to be able to access streets. So what we're requesting is that somewhere in here they show a future road. So that basically one of these lots is going to have to shrink so that the road can come through and tie into Lake Shore eventually for development to continue on up the hillside. That's just something I think we will regret if we don't do.
Dry Creek Drive.
Sounds beautiful. Anyway, those are the two concerns. Other than that, like, it's a pretty straightforward development on the hillside. They've clustered it. The lot sizes in the PRD require a minimum of 10,000 square feet. They're well above that in all of these lots. So I do think that if there's some play with this curve angle here, they can adjust some of those lots, adjust that street, and still get the density that they want. And that, like I said, in the conceptual phase, we're just looking at, okay, this meets the underlying zone. Here's some initial concerns. We brought these up at the age before.
Will we be requesting some engineering study on this area?
This will have a are you talking about
geotech?
Yes, yeah. We'll talk about that.
I have a couple of concerns that I assume would be addressed in the preliminary, but there's quite a job in Canyon Road, and I'm wondering if additional right-of-way is going to be required.
That's a good question. We're trying to figure out the title situation on that, because we're not certain. If you can see here on the south end, this is Canyon Road, and then right here, so we're talking about this road right here, it comes back in. So the question on this parcel right here, it's a good question. We don't really answer it yet. We've talked about that.
Okay. And the other concern I have, and this is more for a traffic engineer to look at, but the intersections are going to be offset between Lakeshore Drive and Cedar Hills Drive. And
it should come in right across the street. That's the way we talked about it. It should be a full-on intersection at Cedar Hills Drive.
Okay.
We didn't want that offset. Because there are centerline rules, we don't want to violate that. Again, let me come back to my area. We have to do that here, and we don't love it. It's offset a little bit. So this will intersect at this point. So that's kind of, you touched on one of the difficulties here, is that you've got two fixed points where you've got to tie this project into. To right here A and then right here B, and somehow you've got to snake that road around getting the appropriate grades and leaving enough space for development. That's the tricky part of this development.
Yeah. Well, I was just drawing lines with a pencil.
It's there though. We talked about that. Yeah. There should be. I imagine that when years go by and if this is all fully developed, there could be a signal there.
Sometimes it is hard to
check
left.
It can be. That's relying on UDOT and on UDOT County, so no promises.
So, Mike, you're looking at this just conceptually saying that, yeah, we agree the residential single family homes can be developed at the lot sizes, the right size.
Yeah, we're looking at the concept of it. On this one we have this sheet to give them to go ahead and move forward with full sets of civil engineer plans that would then be reviewed by the engineer. It kind of gives them more security in going through and contracting with the geotechnical study. You'd hate to have somebody spend all that money on a full civil set and geotech study only to come to concept and say, no way.
My assumption is that as we get into the next phase, a lot of the concerns.
Yeah, and so we'll be working with our engineer, their engineer, and the developer on trying to get this to work.
Street radius,
slopes, K value as you approach the street, you don't want it to approach the intersection too steeply, all that. Those are the things we're going to be working at. think one more thing. And just with this raise being too so tight, and this could change with, this is more than we talked about, but with this raise getting so tight, if you've ever driven up, but if you've ever driven up Canyon Heights Drive here along this turn, very similar tight radius. And as you stand here on this corner, cars will come around, and it's very difficult to turn out here because it's really hard to see. It's hard to see left of the street and see what's coming on the street. You really can't see them until they're already on it right there. In a similar fashion, we want to make sure that any local new here, we can see what's around the corner here. So we might be I'm not saying any requirements at this point, just as a play with that radius, we want to see what that looks like and make that recommendation. Jesse's here.
I do have a question regarding the if you could state your name, you are. Jesse Meek, president of Cedar Hills, and could offer his proposal. My only question was with the, if we were to approve this, and you know, with the way you described, lots are appropriately sized, the grades that we're seeing now are just taken as is. We have an estimate of any grades, so the engineer's comment that we can get all of that taken care of. My main concern is with the road for eventual. That road by lot 10, I don't want to invest more if the project wouldn't be approval because of the consideration for a development we have with private parties agreeing in 5 years or 5 months or 20 years. In the meantime, I think that the only opportunity we have here is to do it basically as proposed, to put a road there as an eventuality. It would make me far less interested.
This is a good point.
I don't know how much of that is contingent. Like you approve here, you approve things like engineering and kind of the standard stuff where if you kind of push the road as not part of this concept, I would bring back my engineer and say, oh, we're going to put a road here. I don't care to have it there. So I don't know where that enters into the concept approval versus fully baked engineering plans.
Well, let me address this because this brings up an interesting point. This is part of the conversation I had today with. Building official was that, you know, it's the whole point of the road would be that it doesn't block off future development. And let me give you an example. You're up this piece of land right here. It's owned privately. In theory, it has development rights. It's very steep lands. It's almost unusable, but it's owned privately. Question is where are the access roads? They can't, right? That's the problem. So they have this land that is locked in, it's landlocked, they can't go. So the question is, are we denying them a development right by making so that they can't connect to the road? Which, going to Katie's point, I think that there's a number of ways that this can be done. One, I wouldn't make you build that road. I don't think that's fair for him to have to build someone else's access road. Something that we could consider would be some open space for future development, where if these developers to the south and to the southeast say, okay, here's our layout, we're going to develop this in this manner, and we don't want to tie into a short trail, so that land then reverts back to the homeownership of whoever's there. I think that there's probably some ways that we can tackle this one. Be open-minded about it.
But if I understand correctly, in order for this development to go forward, you'd like to see at least an implement.
I'd like to see something that allows for future access. Yes.
Are you in favor of the developer that has a deal with the sleep line? I don't know if we're addressing that tonight as a condition of our conceptual
proposal. Because otherwise, I mean, the conceptual plan here is fine.
easement.
At this point, I would allow something.
It wouldn't have to be an easement, it could be a stub.
Yeah, and we did talk about the stub. I thought that was for sewer more than like connected in some meaningful way to the development. So I wasn't certain there would be a road there to give meaningful connection to the traffic. But I would make sure the ladder is one up here.
I think it needs to be thought out and discussed rather than completely ignored. How's that?
Yeah, anybody benefits from being ignored, I think it's something that needs to be discussed and discussed.
And if there's a mechanism that allows us to identify it as a future road access, should the time arise, then I think that's something to go explore. Otherwise, it remains in private hands. I don't know if there's probably something you can do here.
So, I should probably know the answer to this. I apologize. But, to this question. Is this not covered by a master plan?
No. The only part of the master plan the city's really looked at is that Morgan will actually plan Cedar Hill Drive. But I've heard it, but I've never seen it. I've never seen actually master plan.
Because in theory, a master plan would have collectors, it would have secondary, I mean, this would all be a moot issue.
Yeah, but I don't have that document.
Yet.
Does it not exist? I would think another developer, a neighboring developer, I've seen his concept for that piece, that parcel just south.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
Does it tie into yours?
No.
So, I mean, that's my point, is that there is a way to develop that south piece without tying into it, and that's why you wouldn't want the stub road forever, because then you're left with something that looks like this over here. You're left with that. Right there.
Where is that?
It's down Forest Creek, just on the border of Highland. Walmart's just right here. So that's what you don't want, right? Because I'm sure that those neighbors to the north and south of that would say, hey, we'd love to have this road. Funny enough, that's identified on the city park plan. That's a park. It's a horse park, whatever. Anyway, that's what we don't want, but at the same time, we don't want to. I think it's worthy of discussion.
So I do have a comment or a question. So the landowner that is just to the east and south of this closed development, we know them in the dead time, and we're just trying to protect their rights to be able to develop that.
Yeah, so good. Then there are title holdings that are being on these two parcels, part of the east, and then the gentleman gave way on this parcel to the south. To be fair, it's very difficult to get a road across the commission in that way. Yes. So this shows where the Class B pipe is. So really, the only spot is right here. Everything else is further on to the south. So it's a matter of that big corner lot saying, "Can you get a road over this classy pipe?" This grand cross has to be right there.
Are you saying that the easement we were talking about down the road would have to?
I have to tie in and connect to that.
You can't add a big class pipe.
Not at least. This that would be. Not to mention to shut up the water for salt bank. But I mean, in all likelihood, I think it's unlikely that you'll see a road through here. I just don't want to not have that option.
Or whatever.
we approve the concept plan for the Meeker subdivision located on the H1 Hillside Zone.
I have a motion and a second. Any further comments or questions on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. On to our next agenda item. Item my last agenda, item number 6, review action on the concept plan for Jim's Monson Lane subdivision located in the R1 2000.
This one's pretty simple. Let me pull up the aerials so we can get a good look at it. On this property here, see this big long acre in size right here. The home sits right below. But what we want to do is we want to divide this, and this is in the R1 15,000, so we've got plenty of space to divide this. Divide this, put a home on the west portion of it. Really, the question, this is very straightforward. I don't see any real issues with this one. The only real issue that really becomes on the front end of the lease. We definitely want to see curb better sidewalk along 4,000 west. That's nice. The question then becomes, how do we envision Jen's Monson? This is what because if I zoom out, there's really no sidewalk curb better along this road. This is a county lane that's just evolved over time and never had. But if I'm being honest, this is the worst road in the city. School buses, garbage trucks, anything, any big truck that goes up and down the street, God bless them. But what we want to do is this: once the residual service life for this road is expired, we are going to come in, mill this, overlay it, build a new road here. It's not the point, it's far beyond the point of just resurface. This thing needs a full rebuild. So we're just going to let it fail and go into the rebuild. But the question is this portion here, there's a ditch, there's an active ditch there, right? So what we would want to make sure is that whoever is the PGIC and Pleasant River Irrigation Company that owns that will correct that ditch.
I was mixed up because we have Manila this and Pleasant Grove that, so you know this.
I think Manila dissolved, so they don't exist anymore.
Okay,
yeah. So I got to imagine it's PGIC. So we want to work with Pleasant Grove Irrigation Company on that ditch, and if it needs to be covered, it's going to be a certain size. It's an active ditch, you see water.
It is, right? And they tried covering it at one point and had to tear it out. We were opening it.
That was a crossing up here, right? It had those steel plates there over the road.
Yeah, and then from that point, the ditch runs a weird direction. It comes across the street and then it runs east and then south. And they tried covering all of that and had to dig it up.
Yeah, I remember that. They had those steel plates there and it was there for the longest time. I think I'm going to just go walk this and see where the ditch is in relation to the property line. But nonetheless, the question becomes, what do we want to do along the our code requires front improvements, right? So that's kind of the base. So right now, kind of what I'm leaning towards is requesting that an asphalt curb better, the right way be dedicated, because the street, I'm measuring the street to see how narrow it is, but it's, I guess, too narrow. But you can see that the right of way is actually much wider than that. So the right of way itself that the city currently rights to is 40 feet. So that leaves enough space for a 5-foot sidewalk curb gutter and 30 feet of asphalt for 5-foot sidewalk curb gutter. So we'll want to probably at a minimum see the curb gutter get improved along that and then wait for more sidewalk to come in. And that's my point where the city has to come in sidewalk later, much later.
that they put it in on that side.
At least curb gutter.
Curb gutter on the south side.
On the, yes, on the south side, on the one side. Along this side, this stretch here.
What's the side? Is it the 30 feet or not?
The house would face 4,000 west, is that correct?
It would face 4,000.
It would face 4,000, so it'd be, I think, 30 feet off the sides, I want to say 12, adding up to, what is it, what that is, Jen?
It'd either be 8 and 12, or excuse me, 8, you know, make up the difference of 20 feet or 12 foot setbacks.
And then you have 25, you know.
25.
So there's plenty of space there.
The garage might go on to Jen's lot, and the front of the house would be appropriate.
So there's gonna be a driveway cut through there, then?
The driveway, I mean, you can access off the driveway, the house is facing 4,000, the address is about 4,000, so.
Well, that.
Driveway doesn't necessarily be on the same street as the house. Thoughts?
I mean, my first thought, I wonder, when I first looked at this, I wonder if we do anything on Jen's lot, so we are that tiny house. If down the road, we want to improve this road, and then the way we want it built, you know, are we gonna have to possibly rip out what they put in? And is it better not to do anything along there until the time comes?
Well, I think at a minimum, you want to have, if necessary, you want to have enough space where if you wanted to come in and do sidewalk, curb gutter, you had the space.
Right.
But you're not having to come in and claim land up from it. You're wanting at least a minimum, it's not already there, you're wanting to have that be shown as dedicated to the city. But you're right, this is a screwy road. But look at the...
Yeah, I'm thinking an engineer down the road. I wouldn't want anything on there so that I had a big brain clean slate to go ahead, a clean slate to decide the best way it should be.
To Don's point of Canyon Road, you see that there's another job. It's not the same as another job. The right of way isn't. It's not easy on this road. This is a. This road's a bad
one. 4,000 makes sense to me to want to. Access over there or along Jen's lawn side from there, it would be
so
actually causing problems for us down the road.
So you'd see at least a sidewalk curb gutter up along 4,000 or in the 80 and then
right. Along the side. That's just my thought.
So I just have a question though. If they're going to put the driveway on Jen's lawn, then isn't it going to require the cover to park that ditch?
That the ditch doesn't go down to that part. It crosses the road on the neighbor's house, right above, just east of the neighbor's house is where the ditch crosses the road.
There's a road asphalt collapse right here along the wall.
I'll see the actual layout of the ditch.
Yeah, I like the layout of the driveway on the Jen's lawn side on the front on 4,000. You're not pulling out onto or pulling into your driveway on 4,000.
Is that our pole? No way, any of them.
It's in a bad place.
Chandler, I understand the logic of not doing improvements on Jens Monson, but other than dedication. But it is required by the code.
Right.
So my question is, and I'm not familiar enough with the city code, is there a mechanism for a fee in lieu of? So that money could be dedicated
no.
to...
I'm going to say no, because we've done this before, and I don't want to do it again. The city's had somebody on Canyon Road that certified it, and our sidewalk bond, and it was a sidewalk bond. The city held this bond for years. Hopefully, it's given back, because there's no sidewalk that we can tie into. So I would rather not hold the bond. Right? So, but even then, I don't believe even that would Steve, your point that on the power line, in some cases we kind of just move sidewalks around power lines. This one, I'm looking at it, it's, my guess is it's prohibitively expensive to move this one. There's a lot of lines there.
Yeah.
So I would probably suggest that if the sidewalk's going to come in, it's probably going to jog somewhere around that one side or another. I don't know what, I don't know how much distance is between this power and this line there. If you got 5 feet, have at it.
Well, I mean, I think that's part of what we maybe what we need to know. If we're going to require them to do the ADA ramp and the sidewalk and all that stuff, and
that's right that, there. That'll all be, I think that'll be kind of more fleshed out in the preliminary drawings when we actually get some engineer sidewalks.
But I would go personally to not do any improvements on the road we're going to be tear up, and there's nothing else on I would say that that would be a waste because absolutely you're going to tear it up whenever you
have good chance.
But yes, you know, make sure that the right of way is recorded, that all of that's you know, built into it. As
definitely at a minimum, the right of way needs to be cleaned up. If I could go up the road and clean it up all the way or up the road and get that right of way that I needed to fix this road.
So on front and west, there's it doesn't look like there's sidewalks there currently on that east side of the road, correct? On the rest of the road?
There's not on the east side of the road, no.
But mostly it's just one of them that have
but, well, no, we're going to come in at some point. The city's this is a big mess.
There's some down about four blocks.
The city's 4,000. You can see it changes jurisdictions. Number of times it can start in Cedar Hills, goes to Pleasant Grove, back to Cedar Hills, and back to Pleasant Grove. So if this road ever gets redone, and it's going to be, we've talked to Pleasant Grove about it, it's kind of on both city radars, because if you've driven down this road, it's going to be a block, it can be a problem. It would need to be a joint operation to do that road. And I would like to see, and this is another road where it can't be just a resurfacing, it's got to be a full mill overlay. There's a number of all these residents along here, in this area, they are in Cedar Hills around Pleasant Grove Water. So in Pleasant Grove had their E. coli hit a couple months ago. I was knocking on Kay's door saying, hey, don't drink the water. So we want to get them on Cedar Hill Park. So it has to be a full, this would be a large public works project.
So does the same logic apply to 4,000?
I would put 4,000 in. We don't always tear out the curb gutter because this right of way is established at 4,000. On Jens Monson, it's a little more dicey.
Okay, so as I see it, we're looking at historical circumstances. Historical not meaning George Washington slept there. We're talking historical as in it's for the last 80 years has kind of been a mess with property lines and
well, such. Might be too long. I don't know how long they've sold off the property, but
60 years, 40 years, whatever, right?
But you're right, as the property's changed hands, you can see that is getting, because this is I believe this is the right of way we've got to go. I have to check the city standards, so don't quote me on that. But then you can see that it narrows here at this point right here and stays narrow up to Canyon Road. So if we were going to come in and do, a project, we have to get this figured out, and then we're doing something someone that's not even in our jurisdiction. So
at one point we had a board of adjustments. We don't now, we do. Because if we're looking for an exception,
I think what
are we the land use story on this as well?
this wouldn't meet the, this would not meet the requirements of a variance. That's the problem.
I don't believe it would.
That's why you're creating a very dangerous precedent by saying, we know what the code says, but we're going to wink and nod.
This is the, when we've talked in the past about this, this is really what it's come down to in the past, is this improvements on 4,000, around 4,000 gen funds. That's really what's come down to every time.
And the reality is, if you're going to develop, you're subject to the current code. And that's just the rule. We don't make it, and it's nothing personal against you, but that's the law. So you can speculate that it may become changed in the future, but we're dealing in the present.
You are. I agree with what you said. And so that goes back to maybe your point that if there's any mechanism to put the improvements in to fund them in the future day, I wouldn't work with that. Yes.
So do we?
We're not be held into the precedent, but it does set that.
What option is to take with denying the logos?
So, I mean, is it prohibitively expensive to add all of this in the unison, or is it just that we don't want to do it?
I found it's got a lot of cost. In some cases, I've seen it be extremely expensive. In this case, if we were forcing them to move that power line, we'd guess it would be really expensive.
Yes, moving a power line.
If it's just curb gutter asphalt, it's expensive, it's a headache. I don't know, I honestly don't know what the concrete is right now. So, this is good.
And the only reason we're making them do this is because we're subdividing the lot, not because...
Yeah. In some cities, actually, if you do home improvements over a certain square footage, triggers private improvements too, Cedar Hills. So, and it was like, Pleasant Grove had it, not their code anymore, but it was if you were remodeling your house over 700 square feet, triggered frontage improvements.
Our whole argument about
applying
this stuff, we can't do it.
Well, I see the logic in saying, hey, it doesn't make a lot of sense to kind of put something in and wait. It's only good that way. I really understand that. That's why I'm sympathetic to.
But does it have to be? Because if they're, unless they're completely going all the way down to the bottom and redoing the gravel bed and everything else on the road, like they can work around it like they have in every other cycle on the curb and gutter that there is in the city.
Right. If you're creating a, it can be problematic if you've got existing curb gutter there that. You're trying to create a storm drain system for, and I don't know what the elevations are, how it's tunneling, anything to the east. It can be problematic. It can require that some harsh portions that we ripped out.
Chandler, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that if they were subdividing the lot, both lots would have to happen.
Yes, that's the problem. It's not just,
The one.
It's not just the new lot, it's both lots.
Yeah.
The whole subdivision becomes subject to.
So is there a problem tonight in terms of approving conceptual plan? So I don't want to just push something down the road, but I don't mind giving more time.
No, I don't think it's a problem to, because again, we're not adding this as a condition of approval, right? The concept of subdividing this lot means city code. What we're having a hang up on is the front. We can't approve it tonight. I'm comfortable approving it tonight because there's no vesting involved, meaning that if we approve this, there's not an argument that comes back that you approve my concept plan, so you have to let me do it this way.
It's just like the road on the last one.
Yeah, if we're approving the concept of it, it's really, the next step in the preliminary phase, yeah, then you're starting to get some vesting for the development. That's when they're tying in and they're really, there's an argument that, hey, no, you approved this. In the concept phase, no. So in the meantime, I'm happy to work with our attorneys on some precedent, and if there's other avenues that may be open to the city in terms of accepting a fee in lieu of the approval of the subdivision of this project requirements, if that's other code that needs to be adopted and looked at by the city code in parallel or in tandem with this, I'm happy to look at it. Because if you look at Title 11 of our city code, I should pull it open right now. There's a code, 11.76, all streets should be bordered by a blue curb or sidewalk. But if you go to procedure for approval plans and plats, it's a very dated. I mean, the concept plan requires 15 copies submitted to the Planning Commission. I don't need 15 copies. I don't need any copies. I just need you to email it to me. So it's very dated. And so I think some of those provisions that we've looked at in the past, we can revisit. You know, so if there's other avenues that cities can take to address this issue, I'm happy. I'm all ears. I'm willing to explore that. But as it sits right now, I do believe that Jared's point is correct. Please come on. Say your name.
Yeah. I'm Brian Fugel, my mom, and she owns the property, and we're hoping to subdivide and build on it. Just to give some context on this, all of the reasons brought up are very logical and good reasons, I think, on both sides, why to or not improve it. Most of all, I think it would kind of be a waste, as Stephen has said. But also, this lane was originally a driveway for the historical building that sits on the property, which is the farmhouse. And so, and you'll see on both sides of the property, if you look on the map, there's like a silo where the old dairy farm was for the person that lived in that farmhouse. And so what we're talking about is turning a driveway into a city road. You know, it's not even just an old county lane or lane, it was a driveway that was then extended to connect to the canyon road. And so if there's any chance, as you're looking for, you know, ways to get around the requirement, if there's any historical, like, reasoning that we could apply to this as well, the building itself being the original building here in Cedar Hills altogether, so the first building built here, and Cedar Hills in another area. So I would hope that is also taken into consideration as the decision is made, because it's I think it's a unique case, and it's potentially, you know. We're in the process as well as making it certified it as a historical building. So preserving that lane is also very important to maintaining the historical nature of the building, of the home.
Thank you.
And
may I?
Yeah. Stay who you want. I'm his mom. I'm Katie Doodle, and I was raised in that house. My great-grandfather, Jim Thompson, built that house. And as he said, it has been, the Utah Historical Society has nominated it as, or is in the process of nominating it as the historical site here in Utah. Part of the reason it was the first big brick home that was built, and it was built by great grandfather in 1890. And that's where the Swedes, you'll see a lot of Swedes in this area. They came from Sweden and stayed in that house. And then my great-grandfather would mortgage his house, send for them, they'd come, stay in the house. He'd help them homestead in the area. When he got them homesteaded, he'd mortgage his house, send for more people to come, and they all stayed in that house. So you can see there's a historical value there. For the house and the property, the road, the Cedar Hills was pretty much Monson, my family, my great-grandfather's family. And so the road was because there's a First Easter Canyon Road, and then what? Oh, 4,000 West only went to our corner at that time, because at our corner was the driveway, but in order to do the farming, he had to go all the way around to come to the other side of the farm. So they finally pushed the road through to make that a driveway or a little lane between the two roads to connect the farmland. So that's why it's, as he said, kind of a mess.
because it was just a driveway, that's all it was. And so, and again, a historical could possibly, the Historical Society actually encouraged me to suggest that the city designate the hole in the lane as a historical area. It's the only one that Cedar Hills has. And there's a lot of significance in a city having a historical area. Well, this is the only historical area in Cedar Hills. And so they did suggest that we even approach it that way. And in the meantime, you could do that. And then because of COVID, this was kind of on the fast speed. They are paying to do it. When they visited my home and found out this sort of value, it was actually a book written about the house and my grandmother. They volunteered to do all of the work to get it designated historical. It did cost $2,000. And so they're doing it because of COVID. It got put on the back burner for a little while. Now they're in the process of doing it again. They suggested that I have or asked Cedar Hills to designate that as a historical area for the city to designate it in the meantime. Any questions?
Can the city actually do that?
We never have.
Right.
We never designated anything as historical. And my opinion of this is that the home is quite old. I don't know when it was built.
1890.
But the home is dedicated or recognized in the historical state register for historical sites. I don't know that anything applies to the lane. That's the point. I went through and looked through the Utah County Historical Registry sites, historical registry sites in Utah County. The only street I could find that was designated historical value was Lehigh Main Street. So I think getting a lane in itself dedicated as historical on the registry, let's say, I think that's going to be very difficult.
What is it currently? Is it incorporated in the city?
It's a city street, and yeah, it's kind of morphed from a driveway to a city street, but that's not uncommon. Canyon Road was a cattle road for years and years, coming up to the car park to figure out, and that explains why it's partly such a crappy road. They fixed it by and large, but that explains why, because they just had this road base cattle road for years and years, and then they put asphalt on it. It was never engineered. That's partly why it's built so well. But I've encouraged Kay and her family to get the home designated as a historical site, but unless the lane is designated as a historical site, I don't see how that changes the frontage requirements.
Yeah, I can. I'm sorry. There's something I forgot to say. Sorry, Chandler. This is my third time in 20 years coming before the Planning Commission to do something similar to this. It was actually approved at one point. And we went through engineering and all kinds of things because the road is on an angle and it has no water runoff issues. It has a big ditch on one side. And it's called a green swale, if you know what that is. So the water just goes right into the soil on each side. And then there's corrals on one side, there's big trees on one side, and other fences and things like that. And at the time, way back, I remember talking around 2002, I think it was, when I first started doing this, and we had the engineers come out and everything, they said it would be best not to do anything to that road for water runoff reasons, for one, but to keep it as a green swale, which would then mean that you don't have a curb gutter sidewalk or anything for water to hit against. It would just go into the soil. And so if it could be designated possibly, nobody else could come up with this one, but if it were designated a historical lane, that would make it different from the other requirements that are made for other people that want to come in and build, because it would be, the historical value is being preserved, and there isn't any other historical value around here that would have to happen too. And so back in your notes, you probably have them, a couple of things happened between us and Cedar Hills, but it was different. We were here before Cedar Hills, and we have a sewer line that goes, a huge sewer line that goes along the south part of the property, and that was put in there. Cedar Hills agreed that we felt then that there was one Cedar Hills and Pleasant Grove fighting over the property and the sewer, and Cedar Hills didn't want it to get past my property,
And so they put this huge pipeline at the end of my property, and I don't think anybody's on it but me and my neighbor. But what the deal was, they recognized that we were going to have four lots there, and they were going to put in, give us sewer for all four lots. So it was already approved, it was already agreed on for about when we put that sewer in. We just haven't done anything since then. And the road was part of it. That there was a thing called hardship, not for the owners, but just to put to widen the road because of how many there's, you know, the ditches, the corrals, the fences, the trees.
Electrical
and telephone. All of those things that are in there that made it that the hardship, not necessarily for the owner, but just period. To move all of those things, it didn't make sense to do it at that time. So you can go back 20 years and you'll see where this process was begun and go from there.
Yeah, I'm happy. I have those minutes. I'm happy to send those to my commission. My thought is, you know, if it's historical, it needs to maintain a certain character, then leave it alone. Otherwise, if you're going to get something approved and put on it, then it has to be the current code. I think that's going to have to be what our position is going to be on it. Some of us weren't here, obviously, you know, when the monsoon started this area or anything like that, but, you know, at this point, we, like Jared said, you know, we have a standard that we have to meet, which is you meet the current code or you don't build on it. Because we just can't arbitrarily throw variances at things. So I'm going to agree with Jared.
Because Kay's right. This, she has been dealing with the process for, it's been about 20 years. That I believe in one of the minutes, and I hope I don't get this completely wrong, but the Planning Commission did recommend to the council to consider not requiring questions. And I'll get those minutes and send those to you so you can see it. But the same discussion we're having tonight was the same discussion we had 20 years ago.
Was the code the same?
Yeah, that code was adopted in 79.
So if that's the case,
it's a pretty standard city code.
I don't think we have enough information right now to make decisions. We probably need to take it.
The only reason I mentioned that I'm not in the table is that I don't know the approval of the subdividing concept of this condition of improving the road. We're being honest with the owner that very likely that's the way the city's going to go, and the commission as well in support of those laws that we have in place. We're not a lawmaking group, we make recommendations. Otherwise, we'd have to see the law that's in place. But I don't know that that has to hold the approval of this concept. Having said that, I don't know if approval of the concept with all our discussions might be going to help the owners.
Maybe it will allow them to move on to other enough studies now because they will have.
The only feedback I give you is that right now you're on the, as the homeowner, they're on the verge of extending serious amount in the development process. So when you start to talk about designing your site plan, how the utility plan will work for the site, where the sidewalk's going to be. The power line is right in the middle way. The power box, Jenny showed me it, just down the corner of, what is that?
Boulevard. And
that four-way stop there, they're the similarly situated power pole where they kind of worked the sidewalk around the power box, put in the ADA ramp, and made that work. So I think that could be kind of a model for that. Moving the power lines, not going to happen. But to move forward to come back to preliminary, there's an expenditure of funds that's going to be required. So that, I think that expenditure, I'm just thinking about here, it would be nice to have some direction on frontage improvements. But you're not going to get that because this is the problem, is that you're stuck between, it's a gamble, because Chairman, as you said, you're recommending volume. You're not a lawmaking body. And so you can recommend to the city council that, hey, we recognize the potential historical value of preserving this lane. We recognize the potential historical value of preserving this hall in its current state. We recommend that you don't require any frontage improvements. And so they design the plan as such, present it to you, you approve the preliminary plans, and it goes to the city council, and the city council say, no, you're doing the frontage improvements. That's the, I think that's kind of the chicken and egg situation we're in.
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure how we can say we're trying to preserve the historical quality of the land at all when we're talking about adding a lot to the west and building a home on that lot. Well, I think that's, you know, it makes sense. And then and it's a good idea, frankly. I just don't see how I don't know how to square that with the idea that we preserve the historical quality of the dump.
The homework that needs to be done here is, I think, all on my end. I need to find out some more about frontage improvements with associated with historical properties. Another avenue is where you have a country lane where you have an isolated piece of sidewalk curb there. How other cities are handling that. If there's an update to the code that would kind of address this, then I think that's something the city should consider. But I think there needs to be some legwork on the staff's end. To that end, maybe it is wise to table it for now, not move forward with a preliminary drawing until you kind of have some more of those answers.
I don't know, I'm not speaking for the commission, speaking for myself. I don't have a problem at all with the concept of subdividing. I think it's a great idea. I think it's very timely. It's a good time to do it. Having said that, I think perhaps tabling is a better option right now.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
I would just like to, if you're going to table it, you're pretty much saying go, you approve, you just need to find out what needs to be required, right?
Well, I think it's seeking more information.
Yeah, part of it is that we need to know what the prior decision and guidance that were before we can say yes or no.
Not really. That application is void at this point. We're starting from scratch. I mean, if you want to know what the prior planning commission did for context, that's one thing. But it's non-binding.
They had no more ability to waive the frontage requirement.
So what would be the benefit of tabling at this point?
Save them the cost of going forward with their engineered plans. But I think that's really up to you. I mean, you could tell us that we're going to go forward and we'll take that to the engineer. And what the cost of removing the fringe improvements from that engineer said, I don't really know what the difference is there.
I don't know.
But I would defer to the applicant and say, are you ready to go forward? Or do you think that there needs to be more due diligence and information gathered?
So if we approve the concept plan, then they can proceed, but they proceed at the risk that they may be buying sidewalk curb and gutter along both streets based on the conversation here.
My assumption would be that they're going to, unless there's some compelling reason that we can justify the variance, right? And we don't have one.
Right. No, that's the value of the discussion tonight, is that you can know where the commission is in the sense that Derek stated during our code is right now, and administrators of the code, that's kind of binding on us. I don't know that it affects approval of the concept of subdividing. Probably don't think anyone has a problem with that. It's just we want to make sure we're being honest with you guys. Very likely, we and probably the city council, unless there's some other big concerns that are going to require that as part of how we go forward as a company. That makes sense.
Um, as Chandler's intimated, there's some legwork to be done on research of what other options are available to just require construction along Jens Monson Lane. If there's another mechanism, bonding or fee in lieu or whatever else is out there, then maybe that requires code change. So I would like to hear that either as later if this is tabled or as part of the preliminary.
But, I mean, if any code change would happen in Title 11, if we can come before this body, go straight to the City Council. So it can happen really quickly. But I wouldn't want to be the only city that does that, right?
How long would it going to take to get it designated?
That depends on, since I'm not paying for it, they volunteered to do it. It depends on how quickly they come through. I was in contact with them last in August, and the architect, he's already been out to the house, he's already done all the renderings. He's in the process of doing the square footage and all of that kind of stuff. I didn't know any of this was required. And so it depends on how long he takes. He's a school teacher, so school started, and it got pushed back again.
Possibly go faster to, you know, maybe pay for it ourselves or go to that one another way, not depending on volunteer.
But I don't see how that's going to change this issue.
I mean, the new lots are going to have to conform to the code, regardless of whether there's a historical designation or not. Like, the house wouldn't change, the existing house, but any new house has to meet current building code, current zoning, you know, current improvement, research,
That's my point. Like, if the lane itself is designated as a historical lane, that's one thing. But if the home is, I don't see how that affects the discussion on March.
I mean, and even if the lane were approved, it's not cobblestone underneath it, or
no, but it kind of depends on the reason for approval, right? So if it's to preserve it in its form as it is right now, and that's kind of the genesis of the approval, I think that's one thing. But if it's just saying, hey, this is an important road,
put a sign on it and improve it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how that goes.
They are right that we don't have any historical monuments in Cedar Hills, so we're kind of treading new ground.
And honestly, I have done historic preservation stuff before, and it makes it a lot harder to do anything. Now, everything has to go through the state approval board. Everything has to be, you know, reviewed by two or three architects. It has to be, you know, all of the stuff to preserve character. So if you want to bind your hands like that, that's fine, but it's going to be really expensive, and anything that happens goes through a lot more approval.
That's just changed as of recently. And so I talked to them about that very thing, which is why I didn't do this previously. And they said the only thing they do now is they don't want you to change the front and just keep it up. And they will provide grants and things like that for if you need to put on a roof and so on and so forth. But they don't tell you anymore what you can and can't do.
Yeah, and that's for the house. But for the lane, I don't know what they would be able to do. I mean, yeah, have you talked to them specifically about the lane?
No, it was just sort of state.
Yeah, I think the house, you're right. They do want to designate those things to be preserved. Because you can buy architectural windows that look beautiful and are energy efficient now, that kind of thing. But from the lane, I don't see how it's going to change our code requirements. If you want to leave it as is, like without subdividing, changing, that's fine. But I think the expectation from us is that if it's subdivided, it will meet the new requirements.
So you can look back into the original notes where we went over this. It took almost 2 years, the original, and with all the engineers and all the green swell and all of that, it would be really difficult to even widen the road or widen the area enough to put in curb gutter and sidewalk without taking out ditches and trees and fences and power lines and telephone, big telephone box and so on and so forth, which is another reason they opted to say, let's just leave, it's not like, it's just that little connector, so it's not a main road. It's hardly anybody drives on it, because it is narrow and bumpy and, you know, it was a driveway, a messy driveway. And so if you look back into those original notes, you'll see where those all of those things I just mentioned were part of the reason why they're saying we don't even want to widen this road.
Consider an exception.
So just so I'm clear, clarifying here, according to the code right now, it's, the answer is would be no, because that's what the code says. But am I understanding correctly that there could be potentially a change to that code to make an exception for certain for variances?
It's possible. It's possible, but it's something where I would not recommend a code change to the city council unless the use of that code was the exception, not the rule. Because by rule, we want sidewalk, we want curb gutter. I know the primary role of our city is to create a safe environment, whether that's clean water, to make sure the sewer flows away from your home, and have safe streets. But it's the primary role of our city is to have a safe environment. So that's what sidewalks, curb gutter, promote. So that's why that code is there. However, I recognize that some cities do have these country lanes, and you can't have this island sidewalk. I'm sure that we're not the first city that's ever addressed this problem. So I'm willing to go look and see what other cities have done to address this problem of islands of sidewalk on a country lane, saying, how did you handle this? You know, is there a mechanism for bonding where the sidewalk's put in at a future date, or if it's just a linear foot contribution to the city that ultimately they do the construction at a later date. Whatever it is, there could be multiple mechanisms at play here. But I would assume that most of them, on some level, commit you to some form of financial obligation to put that sidewalk in, whether it's a bond, whether it's a cash payment to the city for that construction. I can't imagine cities just saying, it's very important that we maintain that right away because it is a difficult road to widen. They're absolutely right. It is, and that's, I think, part of the reason why I haven't been done for so long. But that is not, watching school buses drive up the street does not remove the city's obligation to create a safe environment on this street as every other city street. So.
Can I ask one more question?
Please.
If we approve the concept, and the campus has a problem with the concept, they're under no obligation to spend any money.
No, but
we can see if further information comes through.
Right. And I have to be in contact with them about what we're finding. Happy to have this discussion.
November 23rd.
Yeah, it's I'll be here. I'm but I'm happy to try to get something put together to have a discussion at that point and saying, here's what I found. That's pretty quick. But you're right, there are no obligation. But I mean, if you want to come back with the preliminary plan set, then there is that financial expenditure.
Yeah.
I mean, they can get the approvals and then wait and see what we find.
I mean, part of the motion would be a recommendation that, currently, as we're observing it, there's no other mechanism for compliance than that you have to comply with current code. We recommend that everything goes forward, but that's our note to it.
Mm-hmm.
We usually say that. Because that's essentially where I am. I don't know where everybody else is, but I mean, taking Jervis' point, the prior applications expired. We actually don't have a historic designation or any kind of action plan in the state on how to approach it that's different than COVID. And maybe that's something that you want your advisors from the historic folks to say. I mean, hey, look, this is how these are approached in other places that have been developed. I mean, Cedar Hills has been modernized since the monsoon started, right? So, obviously, there's a different approach now than there would have been even 20 years ago. But we want to, if there's some guidance from the Historic Society or something like that, we'd love to see it and help us to, you know, make sure that our code or whatever is reflects the best practices for historic preservation. But other than that, we have, like Jared said, an obligation to enforce what's written.
I'm happy to do some legwork and see.
I move that we approve the concept plan for. Thank you. For Fugle subdivision located in the R1 15,000 zone. With the clear understanding that the this approval does not prejudice the city from requiring improvements on the Jens Monson.
I'll second the motion.
A motion and a second. Any questions or comments on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Sorry,
I'm okay with you.
Aye.